Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I am your conductor, Joseph Ward, and as always, you know, riding with me is my man, Patrick Irvin. He got a little parental duties, so he's going to be a little late, but he will be joining us. Hey, the Freedom Train is always sponsored by PACS, Inc., and remember, that's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PACS, Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And as you know, for more information, make sure you visit www.pacsinc.org. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about us, Joseph Ward and Patrick Irvin, what we do at the Freedom Train, and to hear the playback of your favorite shows, because we know today's show will be one of your favorite shows. And if you want to be cool in life, if you really want to be cool, you got to make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. Make sure you like our Freedom Train Facebook page, and then subscribe to the Freedom Train on either Android or iTunes at the Freedom Train Podcast. So, you know, that's what we do, so you can make sure you stay in touch with the Freedom Train. Now, today, we got a good show today. As always, we have on the show a very, very, very special guest recommended once again by my man, Mr. Keith Turner. You know, when Keith recommends somebody, they come bring the house down. So you better put your seatbelt on, because it's really going down. We have Miss Allison Joy August McDaniel. How are you doing, Miss Allison? How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Glad to be on the show.
Hey, we're happy to have you here. We're thankful that you are out in the community doing the things that you are doing. Keith has told me a lot of great things about you. I've even done my research on you, and you do a lot, and you do it with a smile. And so I'm so excited about what you do and you telling us about your story, because you have a very, very, very inspirational story. But before we get all the way into your business, we ain't gonna get all the way, but before you tell us about the great person that you, that before we get into these questions, can you give us a little background information about you?
Yes, my name is Allison, like you said, and I'm from Perry, Florida originally, but I've been in Hinesville, Georgia about 22 years after the death of my grandmother. I'm married to my husband, Anthony, and together we have 7 children. And believe it or not, we have 14 grandchildren, and we love them all. And my mission is simple, just to encourage people. But my love for my grandchildren, just to teach them what we didn't learn as a child, you know, to stay focused and try to stay clear of trouble, because trouble is easy to get into and hard to get out of. But that's where I'm coming from. I'm a business owner. I co-own a lot of businesses with my husband. It's all his own enterprises, where we have a barbershop, a beauty salon, income tax business, and a photography studio. And we're just living to live. That's all we're doing, living to make a difference.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We got to give a hand for that, because that is awesome what you do to our studio audience. Yes, yes. All right. So our studio audience like you. So when you get
Lord
the hand clap.
The studio audience is funny.
That I mean, you ain't know. They like you. All right. So my first question for you is, can you tell us why you decided to write your new book, Silent Talks from the Heart, My Life Stories, and what do you hope to achieve from writing this book and giving it to the public?
I always said I would someday write a book, and it came at a time when I really wasn't thinking about writing. Back in June, my classmate Keith Turner, who you mentioned earlier, he saw something that I posted on social media, and it caught his attention. And he inboxed me and said, "Classmate, I see something. Can you write me something? Let me see what you have." So 3 or 4 hours, I had written 4 short stories about me and my life, and they were coming fast. So I was sending to him, and I was sending them to him as fast as I was writing. And he was like, "Yeah, get me a few more, and let's publish this thing." And I'm like, "What?" But the book is compromised of what I remember from kindergarten to my school age to teenage pregnancy to having an affair with a married man. And, you know, this is just the volume 1. I got a whole lot more to write. I haven't even entered my first marriage in the book yet, but it's about how I kept going no matter what happened. I wrote powerful short stories about me, and I made them so simple that a child could understand it. Because a lot of people like to use I made my book simple because they like to use these extravagant, great words, and the person had to go and look it up to see what the meaning is. And I just
right.
wanted, so if I tell you one sentence, you understand me the first time.
Right.
But the title comes from the conversations that I've had with my heart, because each situation, either I was hurt or it healed me, and it brought about a peace in my life that I had been carrying around all this time. So I really hope to inspire teenagers and young adults that you can wait, and you do not have to do what someone else is doing. You can be yourself and still be down a pool. Like, you know, I'll be back for the future volumes. You just stay tuned.
Right. I'm ready. You got me hyped already. Cause I mean, I like the passion, because I can see that you are connected with your work. Just how you talk about it.
Experience.
Right, exactly. And I can picture what you're saying in my head. And so
That's exactly what he said when I was writing. He said, "I feel like I'm in the room where you're writing at."
Right. Because and just the excerpts I was able to read from your book. You have a powerful story. No, I can't wait to read the whole book. And everybody who's listening, you better get this book, Talks from the Heart, My Life Stories. You better get
this
book.
I'll be sure to get you a copy.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. So, as an author, so far, a brand new author, what have you learned so far about the book writing process? And strictly as an author, what are your goals?
I've learned that it's tedious and it takes time. But
yes,
for
ma'am.
Me, it had to be a gift from God, because I can remember as far back as kindergarten, and everything stays intact in my mind as if it just happened. So the stories came easy, and it was the layout and the publishing that took a minute. And Lord, I'm telling you, I don't know. My goal so far is just to get past this first hurdle, because I have several more books I plan on writing. I've already got the titles ready, and I told him by next month I'm going to do a book signing, and I'm out for publishing the second book. I don't want to stop until all the volumes are caught up to my life to where I am now.
Okay. And so you self-published this book, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose to self-publish instead of the traditional publishing path?
Following my mentor. He decided if I published my own book, he said the momentum would be greater, and then he said the rewards for publishing yourself, for self-publishing. So maybe next time he may publish it, although I wanted him to publish the book, he convinced me to publish it. He was like, "No, you're my classmate, you're going to publish your own book. And I'm going to keep you with this writing process." So that's how I became a publisher.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I mean, and that's powerful, because it actually gives you a chance to build something that you can actually pass on to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You build an empire as an author, because I don't even want to just box you in and call you an author. You are authorpreneur to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do it all, and you have so many things that you bring to the table, and people are going to find out as we move through this interview, because you are multi-talented for sure.
Yes, I am.
All right, so reading the excerpts of your book, because Keith sent me the text messages and I was able to read through, and you have a quote that says, "Peer pressure got me pregnant." And can you tell us more about what that means to you and how you've learned to handle and better deal with peer pressure moving forward in life?
Well, because of peer pressure, I do believe it got me pregnant, because I gave my life to the Lord at an early age. I was around 8-9 years old, so I had been serving God, and I made a vow to the Lord I would never enter relations without being married. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stick to this. When I get married and finish school, then I'll have kids, and then I'll, you know, decide to have relations and lose my virginity. Well, it didn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great influence on my friends. I would spend time with them all night, spending the night at their house, and when their mom went to sleep and their dad worked the night shift, we would sneak out, and at first I wouldn't go out because I knew if I got caught, I would get in trouble. But after I saw they were getting away with it, I said, well, let me try it and go out with them since everybody else is outside. But once we get outside, you meet the boys. And at that time, they paired me up with the star football player. And two of us were virgins and two were not. But we would take turns going into the room to do the do, so to speak. But I made up stories for a while, and he helped me because he understood my childhood pretty, my faith-based training, that I didn't want to have relations without being married. But after a while, you know, that got old for a young man.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I know it's going to be some consequences if I disobey God. Well, now he's tired. And he tells, and their mom was a preacher, so I was only allowed to spend the night at the preacher's house because my grandmother trusted her. I was raised by my great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, these preacher children are bad. You think no man a safe place. These children are doing some stuff when their mama go to sleep. But
right.
I was, in the event, I'm still with them. So I figured if they wasn't getting in trouble, I wouldn't get caught. So I went out. And then he grew tired of waiting. And then just one night, I said, well, he said, I'm going to go tell him that we've been lying, that you're still a virgin. And he was calling me a DT. And you know back then they call that a DT or whatever.
Right,
but he was
right.
going to tell him the truth that I had been lying. So I said, what the heck? I just went on and did it. And then, bam, I'm pregnant. At 15
right.
years old.
Right. Right.
I'm giving birth to a child. I'm like, oh, my God. And then, of course, I can't play with the friends no more because I'm pregnant. I can't go at the church anymore. I can't sing in the choir. I couldn't do none of that stuff. Everything changed for me.
So at that young age, when everything changed, how did you handle that, like, mentally and emotionally? And
embarrassed like a mug. My head was held down. When I entered the door, you can hear the whispers of the people. Then she comes, she's pregnant for real. Oh, she's pregnant for real, because they didn't believe it, and I didn't believe it either, because we did it that one time, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I done disobeyed God. I went home in shame, and I didn't even want to face my own self. Even though I was a child, I knew I had done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother's friend was blind. Diabetes had taken her sight, and I passed in front of her one day playing, because I was a child. We were playing outside, and I passed in front of her, and she said, Allison's pregnant. And I said, no, I'm not. What's that lady can't even see? You know, I had done got mad at her because she was calling me out. I was like, how did she know? But they took me to the doctor, and not only was I pregnant, I was 4 months pregnant.
Okay, so that
was time for my baby to come.
So that was the first time, like, that idea even came into your mind about you being pregnant?
Yeah, because I didn't mess with them. I didn't go to their house no more.
Right. Wow. And the lady who was blind was the first
blind
one to sense.
Saw it.
Wow. Wow. So that yeah. That lets you know something else greater working over everything that's going on out here. So.
Mm-hmm. And then I got to go to school and try to sit up in class in front of my teachers and trying to hide a belly up under the desk because I still looked like a little baby. I was
right.
skinny. I didn't gain weight till after the children.
Right, right.
And I'm like,
and so,
oh, Lord, but I still maintained my grades. I still went to school. I never gave up on my education. I just was embarrassed that it didn't go the way I wanted it to go.
Right. Right. Did that damage your self-esteem in any way?
Yes.
Oh,
because
man.
It made me feel low because here I am. I'm popular at school. Everybody already know me anyway because I'm a fun-loving person. I'm a people person. I love everybody I come in contact. I'm either going to make an impact on your life or I'm going to hurt your life because you've done something to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't impact you, I don't want you around me because I'm going somewhere, whether I'm a child or not. And my
right.
goal was to take the GED in the 10th grade. I said, I'll take this class now. I wanted to be a lawyer. I said, if I go to school now, get out of school now, I know it'll take 8 years to take the bar exam. So if I leave now, I got 6 more years after college, after my class graduates, to finish and become a lawyer. But right
mm-hmm.
when I got ready to do that, my friends, here's this peer pressure again. Girl, you don't want to do that. You want to graduate with your class. It ain't nothing like walking with your class. So that changed my mind again, influence. Even though I was strong-willed and minded, I wanted to do what they were doing because they're like, girl, we're going to turn up when we graduate. You know,
right,
I'm on
right.
honor roll and we in college preparatory classes and we going somewhere. And here I am with this baby. The people that pushed me up or taught me into doing all this stuff, they running free. I'm here babysitting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't
right.
go to the game, football game, because I got my baby. I can't go nowhere because I got my baby.
Right. So, yeah, that was a lesson.
Yes,
you know,
it was, and I learned
right
the hard way, and I still didn't learn because I had 2 more children. And then the father didn't talk to me for months. When I
right.
talked to him again, my baby was born. He showed up at the hospital on the day my baby was born. Now, he and
wow.
his sister and I became friends because he had already moved on and got another lady, another girlfriend. So she
mm-hmm.
and I became friends, so it's like I'm with the sister and he with the new lady.
Right, right, okay. That,
so it was hard, but I made it.
And see, that's the main thing, that you were able to overcome that. I do a lot of work in the community with teens, and self esteem is one of the things that I make a priority to try to help build. And I'm always weary about, especially our youth,
mm-hmm.
being in situations and environments that don't help build their self-esteem, but more so work to tear their self-esteem down because of ideas that don't necessarily help the community.
Mm-hmm.
So
I pray someday you can meet my oldest daughter because she's lost a lot of weight now, and I'm happy because I was worried about her being a young age with obesity and heart attacks. But she was almost 300 pounds, mm-hmm. and she's beautiful. But yes. every time, and you could not tell her she wasn't a size 3, because she would put on them little clothes, we'd go to the store, and I was like, that's not going to fit you, that's not going to look right. But when she put it on, it'd be so pretty. She's well kept. And I tell right. people anytime, if your daughter dealing with low self-esteem, you send her to my daughter, because calling her fat, that was just like telling her she won Miss America.
Right.
That didn't bother her. Even
right.
though the people thought they were hurting her by saying it, all you did was call her skinny, because that's all she saw in the mirror. She told me, I don't see what you see when I look in the mirror.
Right, right.
And I'm glad, because it could have caused her to want to commit suicide, because they were calling her all these names, but she's beautiful. And now
Man.
She's matching her size up with her face. Oh, they better watch out. That's all I know. They better watch out.
Right, right. But once again, though, that shows a testament to you, because
mm-hmm.
she actually old enough to be able to see you grow as a person. And
mm-hmm.
in turn, I'm sure that had to have an effect on her to say, you know what, I have to like myself no matter what anybody else say about me, because everybody ain't going to like me.
Mm-mm. And I told her that I'm your only friend. I don't care how many people call you friend, your mama your friend.
Right, right, right. That's what my mama says. Yes, ma'am. I think my Pat, you on the line?
Yes, I is.
Okay,
hi,
okay.
Hi, Pat.
How you doing? How you doing?
I'm just great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pat, this is Miss Allison Joy August McDaniel. Of course, you know, because you've been reading her stuff, but she's on the line. You on the line. What's up?
Nothing, man. I ain't trying to interrupt the flow or nothing. You know, I'm late to the party.
Oh, I thought
so,
you were
going to
bring a freestyle or something. I heard you freestyle.
I know, right? I know, right? I know,
right?
I know, see? I'm glad. Call him out. Call him out.
Nah. You know, I ain't got no beat. I ain't got no beat.
Oh, I can make you a beat.
Ooh.
Nah. You see, my mic be going in and out.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I got one for you. Let me do one for you right quick. Hello,
get
good
it.
People. It's just me and them boys. I'm on Free the Train Radio like I'm getting an award. The reason I'm here is just to visit and just discuss my book. And once you start to read it, you take a second look. So Patrick, Fritz, and Joseph Ward, favor to you all for having me, your boy.
Yeah. I like that. I like
what
that.
What audience that?
Man, you know, come on, man. You know where we at. I told you how I stood there. The audience feel about you.
The audience look like it's saying, like you waiting on the sign to say clap now.
Exactly. the fat dude ain't getting
it. I just had to make one up right quick. It was a little off, but I could do it better.
Nah, that's cool. But that's what. But see, you freestyle for real. That's why. Come off the top of your head. That's how you're supposed to do it.
They think they got the hippest granny in the world. Don't even call me Mom. My name ain't granny.
That's what's up.
I earned it.
I Pat, you here?
That's better than most of the professionals, though.
I know, right? But we could definitely put you on that XXL magazine, because
hey,
you definitely got the
you.
Best.
I hit it for you. We'll be going somewhere. I can see us now. Picture it.
Right. All right. Well, shoot, Pat, you on the line, man. We got question four, man. Go ahead and do your thing, man. Jump in this conversation.
Okay. Well, you know how I gotta shut myself up with this long series of useless questions, like that's my thing, you know, that's what I'm famous for.
Go ahead.
So, you were a teen mother
mm-hmm.
who was able to create a successful life for yourself. What advice would you give to other teens that have become parents but still want to pursue their dreams? And not even just teens, like, what advice would you give to, you know, like, people in general, or women more specifically, that have become parents before they were able to achieve their dreams?
You just answered the question. Pursue it. Don't ever give up. Press forward, even if they have to do it alone, because self-failure is just that. It's failure. But when you have the self-satisfaction, you feel like a whole new person, and nobody can take what you've earned or worked for. I just preached a sermon on Sunday, and I titled it, Act Like a Lady, But Think Like God. Because if you put yourself in a Christ-like position, you can overcome any obstacle, because he says, I've already made a way for you to escape, and we just got to go through the process. So it's what they give you that they can take back. When I gave birth to my daughter, I looked in her face, and I vowed, to make her life better than mine. And if it meant going to college later, like I'm 46 years old now and in college, that's because of the vow, because I always put my children before me. And my son was in Head Start, and I wrote this poem to him, and it was because reality had set in that I was a mother of three children before the age of 20. And then, and here I am, and in the poem I stated, hold fast to your dreams, for someday they will eventually become a reality. And I ended it by saying, I know mine will. And I guess now it's the era of Allison, because everything is coming into fruition. As Marvin Sapp says, this is my season for grace and favor. So I would tell them, pursue it. Don't ever give up.
You just, that's your hashtag, era of Allison. That's your
hashtag.
I've been,
my sister-in-law called me the Renaissance. Because ain't nothing I can't do, I'm telling you. The only thing I cannot do, this is my motto. The only thing I cannot do is that I haven't tried.
There you go.
I can build stuff. I'll change the oil in your car. I'll paint your house. I'll clean your house. I'm Miss HGTV. That's what I'm watching on TV right now. The Lord just blessed me with all these talents. And I'm like, I should be a millionaire, but I give out all the time helping people.
Well, you're going to be a millionaire.
Oh,
you're
know,
going
I,
to be
I,
one.
Ma'am, sir, we're going to go to the Z. I want yes, a billionaire. Ma'am. That's past the billion.
Ooh, I like that. I like
so
that.
If you stick with me, we're going somewhere, I'm telling you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I got my seatbelt on.
Because
I'm ready.
Why would you just keep me out and you automatically accept me on the radio? That's favor.
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody
yes,
happened for y'all. I don't know what you're looking for, but it's going to happen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And if you don't believe it, then you can't receive it. But if you see yourself with it, it's yours.
I hear that.
I can't be mad at that.
All right. Let's
yes,
go,
ma'am.
Because I don't want to preach now.
If you let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
I'm telling you, I blew them women mind yesterday. If you got a man in your bed, after you, the roles have been reversed. Why a man on your couch sleeping, you at work working, and you happy because he at your house instead of at your friend? You better send him back to his mama couch.
Yes, ma'am.
Bible said, man don't work, he don't eat.
Yeah, you won't.
You over there killing. You can't even get them to clean up. I had to pay my children daddy one time to babysit for me. That's when I knew it was over for me and him. I got to pay you to keep your children?
Right.
No, sir, buddies. I'm out.
Right.
It's in the book. I just didn't use no name, but it's in the book. I'm out.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You have to take care of yourself. You got to you got to make sure that you're not putting yourself in bad situations and continuously doing that and then wondering why you're in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I had a repeated cycle. It's my heart that gets me in trouble. That's why this book is called Silent Talks from the Heart, because I know better, but because I have a love and I love hard, you're going to use me for a little while. I'm going to be honest. I can let people use me for a little while, but when I come to my senses, it's over.
Yes, ma'am.
I try to give you a chance, okay? You hurt me today, now don't do it tomorrow. You hurt me this week, don't do it next week.
Right.
I done gave more than three strikes.
Yes, ma'am.
Pat, this ain't church, just say amen. You got quiet.
Yeah.
Too quiet over there. You like, man, this lady deep. I'm just real. If I can't tell the truth, ain't no need of me talking.
You came to the right place, because that's all we want is the truth over here.
Mm-hmm. I've been through the storm in the rain, but I made it.
Yes, ma'am. Because, and see, like we tell everybody, we created this platform not only for people like you to be able to get your story out, but those who going to listen to this. Somebody going to listen to this, and somebody going to hear what you got to say, and your words going to help inspire and touch somebody somewhere that's listening to this to actually pursue their dreams or get over that hump or whatever situation that they got going on in their life. You got, because it's flowing through you right now. It's flowing.
And I believe
right
it because I preached the message on Sunday. I'm still getting inboxes today saying I'm still shivering from the mess. Can you send me a copy of the DVD? Now my husband recorded every time I preach. So now I can sell DVDs of what I'm seeking. All I'm doing is encourage you. I don't go to church to bash people. I told the people, we got to be careful in judging. I don't care if you're gay, born in May, God had a final say. You can't go around because the lion got the same problem. The adulterers got the same problem. What makes them better than the gay person?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So now, and that's another thing, too. I was talking to Keith, and he was... when we were talking about the final process of your book, actually publishing it on the Lulu site, I started asking him, because it's just me, because I've been reading a lot of books lately, and marketing has been my thing that I've been really researching and learning lately.
Okay.
And so I started asking him, because I had, you know, me and him hadn't talked extensively about everything that you do. And so I was asking him, you know, how are you marketing it? Because he was telling me that you want to go ahead and get it published and get it put out. And asking him these questions, that's when he went on to tell me that you basically have a built-in network. Like, you were able to have that network because, you know, you do sell the CDs of your sermons and things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind, and this is for those who are building platforms, you and your husband able to build your platform?
Well, I had all of those enterprises. I didn't have a name at first. I was just working in different people's beauty salons. But like I said, we have a beauty salon, an income tax office, a barber studio, and a photography. Well, I started the beauty salon back in 97. And when I didn't get the name of it until I met my husband, because he had my name saved in his phone, and he said, you got my number. He said, yeah, I have your number. It's right here. And he said, I read it. It says All Is On. And I was like, All Is On? Who is that? And he said, is that not how to spell your name? And I was like, oh, you just gave me my business name. So that's when I got the business name. But I didn't meet my husband until 2001. Now, here he is, a photographer, like to take pictures, giving away free pictures. No, sir, everybody, we finna start you a business.
Right.
So we started him a photography business. He liked to cut hair. He worked with at-risk youth out of Youth Challenge down here in Hinesville, Georgia, out of Fort Stewart. And he cut their hair. So I said, okay, our name is McDaniel. They call him Mac. So I said, what would be a good business name for you, a barbershop? He comes up with the name Mechanic Cut. So our barbershop consists of grills on the wall, two boxes. I made it look just like a mechanic shop. All you got to do is give me the vision, tell me your vision, and I'm going to run with it.
There you go.
So that's how we get the four businesses. And the Lord blessed us where we have them all in one area, in one deal. So you can come inside in the big old foyer in the front, and you can go down the hall to each business.
Okay.
And, you know, after my grandmother passed away, I moved here, and it was hard for me to find a job, so I braided my daughter's hair. I've been braiding since I was a child, and I braided my daughter's hair. She went to school. A lady saw that owned a business. She sent her phone number home with my daughter. I called her. She hired me the next day.
Right.
So I was working for years. I worked for other people until I started my own.
Okay. That's
so
y'all got it going on.
Person, everybody loved me. It's like E.F. Hutton. When Allison says something, everybody listens. I'm telling you, it's for real. All I got to do, the pastor used me at the church to collect some, if he got to pay a fine or something for the group organization he's in, he'll say, I put Allison in the front. By the end of the service, I done collected the money that he needs to pay the people. I'm going to talk to you like that, pastor.
Yes, ma'am. You got that gift
of
gab.
It ain't nothing to me.
It says salt to a snail. That's what's up.
You learning something. I hear that.
I am learning. I'm taking notes, literally.
I'm telling you, if you want something, you got to go after. Like, I'm stepping out on faith with a book. He says, yeah. Well, just order a few copies. I order 60. I ain't looking for no few.
Right. Right.
I'm saying, by the time I sell 30, I'm going to turn around and order 60 more because I'm planning on having a book signed.
You already know. That's the attitude you're supposed to have. That's
Because if I keep waiting on people, I won't ever have nothing.
Exactly. Right. We learned that the hard way.
If you tell them your idea, they're going to copy it or beat you to it. That's why they don't never last, because they stole your idea.
That's
everybody
more.
Say, how you keep your shop open? You go to school all the time. God gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that done competed with me with a salon done closed. Because you tried to take my idea when I tried to help you and show you the correct way. If I'm going to show you how to get the business license and get your federal ID number from the IRS, don't you think I'm going to tell you how to start the business?
Right.
It's all right, though. Keep going. I'm going to stay afloat. I ain't worried about it. If I fall, I bet you I'm coming back up.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I like that.
Don't stay there long. Get right back up. Why you going to skin your knees up when you can go and run and make some more money? They can be healed in the process while you walk.
Pat, you quiet.
We need a bomb sound effect, man.
Hold on, do I have one? I think I might.
I'm going to holler if you.
Hold on. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
We already hard, especially for you all. You're already hard because you're a black man. My son got it hard.
Yes,
my stepson was standing on a bomb in Afghanistan. He's a triple amputee, but he headed to the Olympics. You need to check out his footwork, and he ain't even got no feet. He played rugby. He played basketball, everything from a wheelchair. He was in the Invictus games this year. He ain't no joke. You cannot call him disabled. He don't even want them legs on most of the time, but he got to drive. He didn't even want the car they give you. Well, you know how they arrange the car where he can drive from the steering
wheel? Yes, ma'am.
He wouldn't take that. He drive a Range Rover, a Mercedes. He ain't got time for them little cars. They tried to give him a van. He gave it away. They gave him money to build a house. He gave it away.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm telling you, we tracking. They better get on board or I know they enjoy the ride. But when I leave out here, that gas going to speak something for me.
All right, now.
I'm ready.
All right, so, and you said that in addition to, you know, to being an author, you're a well-rounded entrepreneur, and you said that, you know, you started doing hair,
mm-hmm.
and you remembered that you can do hair. You started doing hair to help bring in more income. So,
mm-hmm.
in your opinion, what does it truly take? And this is for people who want to be a hairstylist, like who want to be serious about it. In your opinion, mm-hmm. what does it truly take to be great at styling hair? And what does it take to maintain a successful business?
As far as great styling, school will only teach you the basics. They teach you how to roll hair, how to shampoo it, how to put a jerry curl in. They'll teach you that jerry curl stuff. People still wear them, and they'll teach you how to do relaxers. But as far as the styles and the braiding and all the techniques, you have to take classes on the side. Like, I'm a visual learner. I can look at something and go home and learn how to do it. And then I'll say, well, that way was a little too harsh for me because it ended up taking the person's hair out. You see a lot of people put their edges out and they got a quick weave in their hair. Somebody done messed them up.
Right.
So I try to go home and figure out a way that I can do something, do that same style to a person's head without harming the hair, and she still keep her hair, then I'm in there. Because they'll come back and say, I can grow your hair long. I don't see you for a while. But you go to these other people, pay all this money when you want a discount from me, but you pay all this money to these Africans and all these other people to do your hair, and then when your hair come out, guess what they come back and say to me? I came back so you could grow my hair back. So I just wait for them. I let them go and pay all these people. They'll hide off from me in the grocery store. Don't want me to know somebody else did their hair. And I'm trying to tell them we do not own the client. The client paying their money, they can go where they want to go. You have salary, so she's doing my client's hair. We don't own this lady.
Right.
And you have a lot of stylists that hate you for that. And I'm just Allison. I ain't doing nothing. Right. So I say, go on over there and let her see hair. And when it come out, I'll wait for you.
But to me, as a customer, you know, to me, you can't tell me where I could spend my money. And if I feel like this next person is better, even though I may have been going to you frequently, if I feel like this next person is better, that's my right as a paying customer to put my money where I want to,
mm-hmm.
as that on the side of a customer. Now, I you know, never really been on the side as like the stylist, and I understand it's a code, but, you know, trying
same
to see it from both.
Same thing with barbers.
Right. Right, trying to, you know, seeing that code, because, I mean, it is a code, but at the same time, as a customer, if I see you doing better and I see what you're doing to people have and I want that, I'm going to get
mm-hmm.
that. Cause
and that's what happened. I've had a lot of people switch from other people's chairs to come to my chair. Then I got to feel bad because she upset with me because you switched. And I always said, so I came up with an idea. I said, I tell you what. If you want me to do your hair, just go over there and say, hey, you mind if she do my hair because you're taking a long time? Because I'm pretty fast. I could do 13, 14 hairs in a day in 8-hour time frame and be done, and they could be there 3 hours, and I mean all day, and like a 5-hour time frame. They could be there all day, and I could make more money than them as if I'd been there all day.
Right.
So I would say come up with a way to ask her so she won't feel like I'm taking her client, because some people do believe that they own the client, and it's the same for Bob. Hey, that's my client, man. I was finna get him. Well, you were too slow, and he liked the way the other person went. And if you're talking too long, if you can't talk and do hair, don't do it. Be quiet till you get finished. Because it takes a long time, and then you got people sitting there waiting, and you wonder why the customer done moved to the next chair.
Right.
I can talk and do hair. I talk to keep down gossip. I tell you all about me while I'm doing your hair.
Right, right. Yeah, that's right.
I'll get some sin if you ready to go. You can't say I said nothing.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea, because they feel like they can talk to the stylist, and they should be able to talk to the stylist. I should be able to come to him, to a stylist, and say, hey, I really need to talk if you don't mind, if it's not interfering with what you're doing, and I talk. But as soon as you leave, the stylist go and say, girl, she just told me, oh, you wouldn't believe what she just told me. And that's how the people's business get out. If the stylist could keep the confidentiality, then we wouldn't have that problem. So to keep you, if you come in there and tell me you're feeling bad and my husband been cheating, I'm going to pray with you, I'm going to cry with you, and then we're going to do your hair.
Right.
I ain't got time to say, girl, I'll do this. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your man, because if I go help you beat up your man and you right back with him, then I'm going to fight you the next day.
I hear that.
It's best to just keep it neutral, cry with them, do their hair. I've been there, done that, honey, just hang on. I always tell people, God only gonna let you, only gonna allow you to take all you can take. It's up to you to say I had enough.
Yes, ma'am.
I was
yes,
a bad spouse for years, and because I didn't believe in divorce, and I watched my family growing up get beat on, I thought I was supposed to get hit on. I thought that was a form of love until I saw a lady hit my. It's in my book. Until I saw a lady hit my ex-husband one day, and I was like, wait a minute, is she hitting while I'm scared up?
Hey.
All because I believed in marriage and didn't want to have a divorce, I was getting beat on. I get burned on my thigh with an iron, broke my face. It's in the book, broke my face. Hit me in the head with a base of a phone. I ain't got no reason to live. I don't have no choice but to sin, God. I should have been dead.
But you here.
Who? If I ain't had them children, I think I would have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kept saying, ain't nobody going to treat my children like I treat them.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's why I'm
that,
here.
That is both sad and amazing that you were able to make it through that, though.
Who are you telling? I can't tell you. I can't lie and say I didn't think about suicide. I tried that 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get away, and then I thought about who's going to keep my children. Every time I wanted to die, I thought about them kids. That's why I help other people's children. That's why I'm able to tell my stylist children when they come in and say, I think I'm ready to have sex. No, ma'am. Sex got me pregnant.
Right.
My stylist children will tell me that they lost their virginity before they'll tell their parents.
Because
I developed trust with them. And I was like, no, if he loves you, he can wait. Wait your time. Because when you go, especially if you go into the service, you engage to go married and you get married and you're 18 and you go into the service. When you get the basic training, you're going to want somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Pat tells stories all the time.
Yeah. You forget all about that. I said, I saw too many people waiting to get married, and the man come back, he done married somebody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to tell them to wait.
But see, those, and I'm glad you're telling your story, too. And because.
Thank you. It's
you
been
gonna,
a long time coming, but I share it all the time.
Yeah, you're going to, I mean. And we can tell you seasoned in this. You the book is just another a new avenue for you to get your to do what you already been doing and, and telling your story. But through telling your story, you are inspiring people, giving people a reason to keep going. Because a lot of times, a lot of people they surround themselves with negative people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you surround yourself with negativity, you're gonna start to succumb to that. You're gonna start to become that negativity. But if they can get around people like you, because you're a true soldier, you're a true warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've been negative before too. Now I ain't been all good.
Oh yeah.
I done beat up on some people, and I done been knocked. I done went and knocked on a lot of doors where them women should have killed me asking about a man that was my husband. I used to stand at the door and say, you ain't gonna pour no hot water on me or nothing. I got these people scared to come out their own house.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, I got Allison. You got to love yourself more than that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
trying
ma'am.
To prove a point that he with me.
So let me ask this. Cause you are a minister now, correct, as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how has becoming a minister helped you see the world differently now than you were able to see the world as a teenager? Because going through that process of becoming a minister.
I think I've been a minister the whole time. Because
okay.
I've been preaching in school. I formed groups in school. When we were in the fifth grade. We came and we had church at school at lunch. Then I always thought I was a preacher. And then I get home and my brothers would sing. I would make them sing with me. I was a one-man choir at my church. I was the only person in the youth choir. I was about 12 years old. And I needed some more people to sing with me. So I went around the little project where I lived at, and I got the parents to let all the children come sing with us at church. It was so many children came, the church had to purchase a bus to take us to church. And it was raggedy, but we enjoyed riding on it. And since I accepted the call, the only thing I would say is different is the fact that I'm in front of the real podium. You know I'm not playing no more. Because I depended on God as a child. I depended on him as an adult. Even with a husband, I could say, okay, I know my husband won't pay this bill, but God, you make a way for him to provide for me. Because you said he's ahead. I ain't supposed to be doing all this working, but I saw myself in so much to say I had the potential. I would want to be ahead of the house. When I met my husband now, he got mad at me because I said, we're supposed to do 50-50, so you can't put me out and I can't put you out. Well, he wasn't used to 50-50. He used to taking care of the house. But I'm saying we going 50-50 because I done had this husband before who didn't go 50-50, and then they get mad at me because I made the most money. My ex-husband told me, I'm sick of hearing your name. Every time I turn around, Allison did this, Allison did that. Well, you can do it too. I'm trying to help you.
Right.
But I can't help you be great if you won't let me.
Get off your butt.
Thank you. And he said he was working. He was in the army, but... And every time he was to make a new, he wanted to get a new rank, I go buy him a new uniform. I put the next rank on it. We iron it. I hang it in the closet till you get.
Right.
I tell you, got to look forward to something. I tell anybody that scripture that I say, write the vision, make it plain. That thing for real. Get you a calendar, write on the board. I'm gonna do this by this such date, and this what's gonna happen. I don't write on calendars. I write in my paper on paper on my phone. But I can go mark it off. I did this today.
Yes, ma'am.
Stick to the plan. Don't be sure. The Freedom Train Radio finna ride out.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? I'm actually intrigued and happy to hear you say that because Joe and I both come from the motivational world, and a lot of the things that you're saying are right out of, you know, if there was a handbook, it would be in that handbook. But it's so interesting to hear it from a scriptural point of view, you know, where these things are also, these principles are also in the Bible.
That's what I tell people. Your life, the direction's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that we have to get to an earlier age to realize that it's true. Because I didn't want to be no preacher. And I don't even want to be no preacher now because it comes with a lot of consequences. I've lost a lot of friends. Like you saw my post the other day, Joseph. I'm down to 3 friends since I've been preaching. I had a whole mob behind me.
Wow.
I didn't want the call God gave it to me, but I've been preaching to you the whole time. But as long as I was telling you what you wanted to hear, you were fine. I'm not going to pray for you to have no baby and you don't have a husband. That's dumb.
I
went through that without a husband. Why would I want you to suffer like I did?
Yes, ma'am.
To downstairs or something.
Amen. It's all right, though. We're going to make it. That's all I know. I tell anybody, if you hang with me, we going somewhere. If I can't enhance you, like I said earlier, Joseph, if I can't enhance you, I'm either going to hurt you because you done something to me.
Right.
We can't be enhancing and hurting. I ain't want you with me if you're not there for me. You just there to get what you can get from me. I have plenty of people steal my ideas, and they flop. Because the idea wasn't yours.
Right. I mean, if you surround yourself with people who not trying to enhance you, why are you waking up? You need to be around. You need to be around people that's enhancing you.
Mhm. And that is a good question because it seems like the Lord sent me all the people that need help. And here I am, got to be a mama all over again to a grown person.
Yes,
and I bet you they're going to learn or you're going to get away from me.
All right.
Because I'm not going to keep telling you the same stuff over.
Right. So, in addition to being a minister, an author, a mother, having all this one enterprises, you are also dedicated to your talents and skills and crafts of being a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of your key interests. So how did you find the time to pursue nursing, and how did nursing become an interest of yours?
My grandmother became ill back in 1994, and she would always tell us, don't put her in a nursing home. So we had to care for her as far as dressing her, bathing her, feeding her, help her get on the bedpan and use the bathroom. And I hated that part because if it waste, I had to clean it up. But we were taking care of her. So I went to nursing assistant school first because I wanted to realize, I wanted to understand how to better care for her, not knowing she would die in October of that year. But I finished school, and then I was able to take care of her at home. And then I could always braid hair right in the living room where she is. So I had people coming to my house to do her hair so I could keep her. And I made money as if I was if I worked full time and taking care of my grandmother, because I would say, excuse me, let me go see about her. She need to use the restroom. And I had her food ready. And then my oldest daughter was like 8 years old, so she was old enough to feed her and do whatever I needed her to do. And she had already taught her how to cook. So it wasn't like we had a lot to do as far as taking care of her. I was still able to work. And then I put myself through school after she passed. And I said, when I finished nursing school, I went to get a job at a hospital in Savannah, and they said, oh, we pay $10 an hour. And I'm like, $10 an hour? I make $400 in a day, lady. So I never really worked as a nurse except at the church and helping people from what I know in the streets, because I wasn't making $400 a week when I can make that in a day. I stuck to the hair business.
Right. Right.
So nursing, I'm forever nursing, because you got to nurse to be a nurse. You got to have a heart to care for people. My daughter's a respiratory therapist, and I'm so proud of her. I be telling people, my baby saved lives. I came from the projects, and look at my baby. Because when I got pregnant with my oldest daughter, what the first thing the grown people said? Oh, that little girl ain't going to be nothing now.
They always say that. They always say that. We got too many naysayers that's always out there. And see, that's a shame on them, because them probably was adults, too.
And shame on them adults,
because this one thing me and Pat always talk about a lot, and not all adults, but we have a good number of adults who good at talking down on these kids and using these kids as ego boosters.
And why?
And then if the kid end up not being nothing, see, I told you. You could have been somebody to help that child.
Thank you, and that's what I do. I pursue to tell them you can make it, even if your mama don't come and help you. If you really want to be who you say you are, I can guide you. I'm not going to push you. I don't want to take your mama place. I ain't trying to take nobody place. I just want to show you that it can be done. When my daughter got pregnant, same thing. We had a generational curse. Here go my daughter have a baby. After I done warned her, girl, I had you when I was 15. Don't do this. Take your time. Don't have sex with a boy. Wait on you. She turned around 15, have a baby again. Same thing. The cycle repeated itself. After I done warned her now, I can encourage other people's children, but my children don't want to listen to me. But I still tell them. It's up to them whether they receive it.
That's nice.
Yeah, I know that struggle. Because my kids don't listen to me.
It's all right. They're going to listen. They're going to get it one day. You watch. So I didn't want to work as a nurse because they didn't pay no money back then. Now when I finish, I'm in RN school. When I finish that, then I would probably do, I want to do traveling nursing once a month, because I can work 40 hours, 36 hours in a weekend and get paid as if I've been working the whole month. I got a goal now. I got a goal. You know I got a goal coming. I'm going to get into this ghostwriting, because y'all think I'm playing.
Oh, nah.
All these people write me about these books. Want me to write your book, or you going to pay me?
And how about this, too? Not only be a ghostwriter for these authors, but a ghostwriter for these rappers.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and get that money.
My son loves the rap, too. I told him, you're going to get it one day.
Oh, yeah.
He got a story to tell, I'm telling you. You couldn't have told me my child would have been strung out on drugs. But he got a story to tell.
Right.
And here I am trying to beat him and force it off him. Then my husband say, let it take his course. And I'm like, take his course? My child going to be dead if I wait on him to come off drugs. So I said, okay, God, if you take my hand off him, I'll give him back to you. And that's what happened. He's looking a whole lot better. Started working on Friday, and I'm still praying. I'm believing God. He got a story to tell, and he's going to be on your station because he's going to tell about his book.
And we got to get your husband on here, too.
Yeah, he do all that, too. He writes songs. He got a lot of gifts.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
and
ma'am.
Once we come into the full fruition that we couple them in each other, oh, we going high.
Yes, ma'am.
I see
yes,
it
ma'am.
In the light. And I told him, you're going to see my name on the billboard. All y'all people who dropped me off, don't be yelling. Don't be on TV yelling. That's our friend.
I know, right? I know her.
Over there.
Right. Nah, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But it's once again, it's a pleasure knowing that people like you exist, and we have been blessed to continuously come across people like you who have the stories that you have to tell, and you're so much stronger now than you have ever been, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you want to help other people.
Mm-hmm. That's my problem, helping other people. I get in trouble all the time for helping other people. Because people will come up and say, don't help them. I wouldn't do it if I was you, but I was like, I see something, like my husband. People were telling me not to marry my husband because they knew his story before me. I saw something in him. God showed me who he could be if he lined up or if he decided to do right. So I looked past all the stuff that he was doing. And they still would say, girl, you married him? Yeah. I know what he used to do. I said, used to.
Right. Right. So ain't nothing wrong with that.
If you don't see love in nobody, he said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. How are we going to love people if we forever bring them down? You can't love me and bring me down in the same sense.
That's important. Those two things, that love and that deceit, whatever, those things can't occupy the same space at the same time. All right, so let me ask you this. If you could take a trip back into the past and you find yourself as a teen, what advice would you give yourself, and why would you give this particular advice to yourself?
Oh, let's see. To keep my word. Because I was raised in the church and I knew the Lord, and like I told you, I didn't want to disappoint God. I should have stuck to my word. I could play the piano, I could sing, I could dance, and people always bragged on me, even as a child. And I wanted, if I could change anything about it, I would. The only thing I would change about my life growing up is I would like to have had a husband and finished college before I had my children.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had plans of becoming a lawyer, and I was on my way out to be a lawyer until they said, uh-oh, she's pregnant.
Right.
So I would just say I wouldn't change nothing, because to me I've been a great person. It's just that I had those children and something had to embarrass me because I was on the track that I forgot about God.
Okay.
And he said, so, I got a way to get your attention.
So I guess if you could leave yourself a quote or a few words of encouragement, what you think those words would be?
To stick to your words and don't ever change. I'm telling you. If I can tell you now, if I had sticked to my words, I would have been a billionaire by now because I had a problem with telling people no.
Right, right.
Even though I know I wanted to say no, I still did.
Right.
So I would just say stick to your word. And I'm, like we say, hold fast to your dream. They will become a reality if you stay with it.
That's true. That's true. You got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. You got to stick with
it. And don't let nobody talk you out of it, because you have people saying, I wouldn't do that now. And then you look, they done done.
Right. So I got to ask this question. Because your energy is just so great. And you one of the people that I know you're gonna have a good legacy. You're gonna leave something behind.
That's what I'm trying to do, leave a legacy.
Yes, ma'am. So let's move forward. We don't in the past. So let's move forward 30 years from now. 30-40 years from now. Right.
Okay.
And you got a chance to actually look back and really experience and enjoy your journey. So what type of impact would you like to have made on the world, and how are you working towards leaving that mark today?
If I'm working towards the mark, my mark is to tell anybody you can make it after the mistake. Because when I saw my daughter for the first time, that's what gave me the drive that I had to press on. Because some days as an adult, you feel like giving up and you just want to throw in the towel, and a lot of times it was too much for me. But my daughter knew how to cook and clean and care for her siblings, and it was like she knew the days that I was hurting, and whether it was from a man or from people, period, or the bills piling up, she knew how to handle it, and she would come in and say, Mom, you want me to cook today? You can lay down. I got the kids. And I'm like, what the world? It's a child. Then I become a better spouse, and I'm thinking about this man hitting and cheating on me, and a lot of people knew me. I think I could have handled what he was doing, the situation, better, but what made it hurt so bad is a lot of people knew me. They knew Allison as this good outgoing person. I always thought I was all that, so they knew I thought I was all that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So Allison got all these businesses, and the man still cheat on her? It was like, why are you cheating on you? Look at you. And then I couldn't figure it out. So my pain came mostly from gossip, from people talking. I could forgive a person for hurting me.
Right, right.
And then if I had to learn to counteract what I was going through, I had to learn not to let people see me sweat. Or if they saw me sweat, you better know I made them look like I was a winner because I was fighting so I couldn't fight no more. At least you could say she fought back.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And he was cheating because he was inadequate with himself. That's mm-hmm. why he was cheating. It had nothing to do with you. It was him.
And see, it take a long time because when you're cheating on a woman, let me tell you, women something else. I told mm-hmm. him that, sure, we go all out of our way trying to see who the other woman is, see if she looks better than us, or where she living at, and then you be talking about, oh, you dropped this 80 for a 20. That's just dumb. Women got mm-hmm. the same thing, either one clean and one dirty, one big and one small, one tall and one short.
Right.
Everybody got a heart.
Right. Right.
So we judge by how the person appear, but we don't know what she doing once he get in the house.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
So,
oh,
that's
why
I told my son, everybody got the same thing. It's just how you feel about the person.
Right. Right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So they always say, oh, she's good in her house. I ain't understood that yet.
Well, and see, That's why people like you exist, because we helping to get there. We helping to get right.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. That's why your book need to be brought.
That book out. I'm ready, hon. I'm ready to put that book out. I'm going door-to-door with that book. You watch.
Silent talks
somebody
from the heart.
Know. I've even right. contacted the school today, asking the school, could I do something on peer pressure? Because it starts when you're in the fifth and sixth grade.
Yes, ma'am.
Because that's when mine started. I was in the fifth grade just not realizing I was a little girl. Because before that, you just be playing. You don't think about, oh, she's cute, put bows in her hair. But they didn't have time for that back then. They didn't even tell us about relationships and all this stuff that they're telling the kids today. These kids today know everything.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, your book, once again, that title of her book is Silent Talks from the Heart, My Life mm-hmm. Stories. Just the fact that you want to put your book in the school, that's why you're going to get into the school.
It took years, Joseph. It took years for me to even tell somebody that I was 15 and I had a baby at 15. I tried to push the age up a little bit, 16, as if that sounded better.
Right.
So I said, let me just tell the truth. I had this child when I was 15. I came from a long way.
So,
two children
ain't nothing
in
wrong
one
with
stroller.
That.
One
yes,
in the
ma'am.
Bed.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm telling you.
So we got this last question, and so we got to set this one up because this is a question that we ask everybody, and just gonna set it up because we got to have it right. So it go a little something like this. We got to get ready.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. Okay. 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 That's how we get ready for. So if you For like a day or a week, month, a year, you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America. So you the czar of Black America. You the queen of Black America. To Black America, what would your message be, and what would you change?
Ooh, a powerful ruler. Oh, good mm-hmm. God. I would go back. Well, I know I would go back and try to relive the dream of Dr. King. I would fight for equality. I would make all things equal. That's what I would change, because everybody knows Christopher Columbus didn't discover America. Black
right.
people was already there, but he got the credit for it. And
right.
I'm just wondering, I would just want to give credit where it's due. I would want equal rights because we as a people. You know what bothers me on the employment application? When they ask, what is your ethnicity? Why
right.
does it matter? You need to know what color I am. If I can perform the job, then you need to hire me.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I think I can get away with it a lot because let me give you an example. I could call mm-hmm. in and say, hello, my name is Allison McDaniel. I was calling in reference to a position that you have online, but I'm having trouble entering your site. Is there any way I could come in and apply for the job? And they'll say, come in. Okay, I did mm-hmm. well on that. Now, as soon mm-hmm. as I walk in, I go to the counter. I say, hello, my name is Allison McDaniel. I'm the lady with whom you spoke to on the phone about the position. Some people be wanting to say, girl, bye.
Right, right.
See, you thought I was white on the phone, but when I show up in person that I'm a Black person, you don't want to hire me.
Right, right.
So I think that question should be taken off of the employment application because it doesn't matter what color we are. And I'm not
right.
racist, and I love everybody, but if you push me to a point, I can be straight Black.
Hey, and we all can, and we shouldn't be ashamed of being able to stand up for ourselves and say what's right and defend ourselves and take a lot of stuff to that.
Taken from the black people. I mean, why we couldn't get the credit? We did the same job. We did the job. We slept with our people. The children mixed. That's where it come from. These people ain't just start sleeping together.
Right. Yeah, ain't nothing new up under the sun now.
Thank you. Then you got to put confused on the application. You don't know what color you are.
Right, everything.
Well, that's what I would want, equality. You know, for everybody to be equal all across the board. If the woman can do the man's job better than the man, then the woman high.
That's right. You hear that, Pat?
I hear it.
If she can freestyle better than you. If the woman can freestyle better than the man, let her freestyle, right?
Yeah.
That's right. That's why I let her freestyle.
But that's just me. I love everybody. I mean, I just love people, period. If I can help you, I'm going to help you. If I can't, I'd rather not harm you. I'll leave you alone.
Yes, ma'am.
Because it's not that serious. I don't want to lose no sleep. There's not one, and if you sleep, and you over there sleeping, I'm over here, can't even sit up.
Yep. All I want to say is, I hi to everybody else, because we got the interview first.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. Hey, Pat, don't think I ain't been sharing it all on Facebook now.
Yes, ma'am. I told him. That first day when you tagged me in there, I started sharing it too, and I told Pat, I said, man, look, we got a guest who actually out there really, really sharing this.
I'm like E.F. Hutton. Everybody listen.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad to be aboard today.
Yes, ma'am. We happy you here, and you got you a VIP seat up with. You can sit with the conductor, so you cool. You cool.
Lord.
Get you whatever you need. Our Pullman Porters. We got you.
Gotcha. So, I'll be back again. Just know that.
Yes, ma'am. Before we wrap this up, can you tell us where we can buy your book, your website, where we can find you, where we can learn more about you and follow up and be able to keep up with things that you're doing?
Yes, you can buy the book at www.lulu.com, and in the search box you will put Solid Talks from the Heart. It'll come up, and it's $15 right now. I'm going to someday run a special here soon, but I'm just ordering the books. And my website is Allison Enterprises with an S, the number one, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
You can reach me by mail there because we're still setting up the website. Because, like I said, everything went so fast, and we didn't expect – I didn't expect to be in this interview already, but I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Things happen like that. So you said – say your email again, please.
Allison Enterprises. one@yahoo.com, and I'm guessing about 30 days it'll be available on Barnes and Noble and Amazon. They said it takes 30 days for it.
Oh, yes ma'am. And actually, to be honest, it's actually going to be up there a little bit before that.
Okay.
So around 2.5-3 weeks, check on it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes ma'am. Pat,
what's up?
You got to raise the roof. This was Miss Allison. We friends now, so.
Yeah, we all friends. I'm telling you, we friends, family. Ain't no friends.
Yes,
we family.
There
we like
did. Ooh, there it is. When next time you come around the way, man, Mom, bet you getting a sweet potato pie. You're the first person to get a sweet potato pie.
A little cinnamon in.
Yes, ma'am.
Nah, this is one of the first times in a while that I didn't actually broke it out and started writing stuff down during the interview.
Oh, thank you. Woo-woo.
Yes, ma'am. So,
Believe me, y'all know how to reach me.
Yes, ma'am. So, Miss Allison, before we go, any parting shots you want to give to the people?
No, just hit the book. The book will set you free. And
yes,
if
ma'am.
You ever need me, find me on Facebook, Allison
yes,
McDaniel. Or you can find me by phone, 912-980-4515. I take calls because you never know who you have to pray for. Somebody might just need to talk to you. But stay focused, press, and keep moving.
Yes, ma'am. We appreciate you for coming to join us today, giving us your time, your words of encouragement, your words of wisdom, your spirituality, everything that you bring to the table. We appreciate it, and we definitely look forward to not only interviewing you again when Volume 2 come out, but also your husband and your son, because we got to get them on here.
Oh, we're going to get them on. I saw this, I'm telling you, I wrote my friend book first chapter in 10 minutes this morning, so that's what I was like, okay, now if they tell me the story, I can write it.
Yes, ma'am.
I got this. Y'all ever need me, hit me up.
She ghost write books and raps. So get your mind.
Oh God.
She wrote Drake last album. See, we ain't supposed to tell that, but she did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he need to pay me because I ain't right.
Got to get the lawyers on. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, and we will be speaking with you soon.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah. Pat.
That was a good one.
Hey, man. When we first started talking, I'm like, yeah, this going to be nice. This going to be mm-hmm. nice. This going
to
be
I
nice.
I like the talkative ones because we can just sit back and listen.
people who passionate about what they're doing. And you mix that with people who like to talk. Oh, we in there. I like to talk. I know I do. I can talk all day. To myself. In the mirror. Without a mirror. It don't even matter. I talk. And you just listening. Hey, man. You know how we do, man. It be fun riding on this train, man. So, hey, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. And together, we make we break dance. Did that work? Huh? I was trying to think of a good break dancer. You don't want to. What's a good break dancer name we can have for our crew?
Freedom Train.
Break dancers. The Freedom Train break dancers, and we going. There you go. And I spin on my head, so I'll do that. No, I'm just playing with y'all. But I'm Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin. You know, thank you for tuning in to the Freedom Train podcast series. And we are your resource podcast series. And our mission is to connect professionals, business owners, and resources to our community members to help uplift and empower our communities. Remember, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PACS, Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS, Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.PACSINC.org. That's PACTS.org. And while you're online, visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast on Google Play Music and iTunes. _ Freedom Train. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I know I said it backwards. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _ Freedom Train. And like our Freedom Train Facebook page. And when you go to sleep, dream about us. When you wake up, daydream about us. And we got Freedom Train breakfast cereal coming out soon and oatmeal, so y'all make sure y'all stay tuned. It's going to be at your local Piggly Wiggly.
Dream about Joe. Don't dream about me.
I have my shirt off. Hey, man. Y'all know how we do, man. We love y'all. We love y'all. Two fingers like a player. Split them apart. Peace.